Random thought. When it comes to social media, if an attractive woman follows you first, right? And you look and you go, she seems like an interesting person. Let me follow her back. Should you jump in the DMs or just say, well, she's attractive. Let's see what she's about.
That's a good question because my social media game is stronger on Facebook than it is on Twitter and Insta. Mm-hmm. So if somebody were to follow me on Twitter and Insta, I honestly don't even check often enough that I might realize that someone started following me 2 weeks ago. So no, I don't. And I don't assume that just because, an attractive female follow me, ooh, she's interested. I don't even think about it. I'm just like, I'm more protective of my Facebook because ever since we started doing this podcast, All of a sudden I get these random Facebook requests and I'm just people like, I don't know you. Delete, but no, if somebody were to like follow me on Instagram or something, I wouldn't assume that they're interested and I wouldn't try to slide in their DMs or anything.
I asked this question because I saw sitting down with some coworkers yesterday, and we're recording this a little early this week. We're actually recording this on Thursday. So if you listen to it now on Monday, we're recording this last week. Sounds weird as hell to say that. But as I'm sitting down with these coworkers, and we're talking about how my wife and I met, right? Mm-hmm. And my wife followed me on IG first. And I saw her and I went, it's an attractive woman. But why does she look so familiar? Right? Thought maybe I knew or realized I didn't. And I happened to have followed her sister before because the sister's married to one of the guys that I, how do you say it? I don't say coworker because we didn't work for the same company, but we work together, right? Same industry. Mm-hmm. And she come to find out later, she told her, hey, you got to check him out, follow him. So that's why she followed me. But when we finally started speaking, which was probably a couple of weeks later, she's like, I was like, wait a minute. Why is he ever going to say anything? And I'm like, I don't just because you're attractive and you follow me doesn't mean that you followed me. Doesn't mean that you think I'm attractive and that you want me to reach out. And I know every guy is hunting you down, jumping in your DMs, which I've seen some of those. Y'all fuckers are nasty. And that's the reason why, right? And then come to find out, as I was talking to these ladies, they're like, yeah, but even if everybody's saying the same thing, great rising queen, or the good morning text, not everybody wants to hear it unless you're the person they want to hear it from. So it's basically a crapshoot. You just got to shoot your shot until somebody that wants you to say it says it. But I feel like it just seems so desperate sometimes if you just, every woman that says, hi, if a woman walks by and says, hi, good morning, does that mean she wants to sleep with you? Of course not. Right?
Or yeah. Wrong? No, you're right. And I think men were stupid because women get hit on all the time. Yes. Right. So for them, as soon as they reach puberty, they've been getting hit on all their lives. For us, sometimes that we was ugly. And then all of a sudden we hit a growth spurt or we graduated college. We got a good job, got a good haircut. Somebody cleaned us up, put some chapstick on us. And all of a sudden now we're hot and somebody is hitting on us. We just assume all of a sudden everybody wants me. So, but men are stupid. I would never do that. It's just not my thing. I just feel It's weird to slide into someone's DMs. Sup? I think it's just weird and creepy, but I do agree 100% that no matter what you say into someone's DMs, if they're attracted to you, They will be okay with it, right? It's similar to the, we're on the 1 year anniversary of our show. We talked about this one time about people at work, right? You have a coworker that's hitting on you. Mm-hmm. And if you're attracted to that coworker, you're like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll go ahead and have a drink with you. But if you find that coworker ugly, you're like, hey, you hit me up one more time, I'm going to HR.
Is the difference between flirting and sexual harassment in the workplace attraction?
I think that's an interesting case because if someone I'm not attracted to is hitting on me at work, would I be bothered? Yes. But if it's someone I am attracted to, am I going to, am I as upset? Maybe not. Now, you should never harass people at work, period, dot. Whether you're attracted to them or not. I mean, that's something that just shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think there might be some truth to that, you're not, and it depends on how far someone takes it. There's a difference of, hey, you look nice today. You smell nice. And that type of deal compared to giving a coworker an extra long hug and going, you smell nice. Like that's creepy, and that's right. And you keep doing it. You keep trying to touch on somebody. I mean, all that is wrong. But
to your point, if you're attracted to the person that's doing it, do you let it slide? I know I have. And that doesn't make it right. I'm just saying I totally have been like, oh, they're just flirting. You know, it's cool. But then there's that one where I'm just like, I need you to understand. We work together. This is a place of work. I didn't come here today to deal with this. So I'm gonna give you one last chance before I go to HR.
Listen here, Goonie Goo Goo.
Yeah.
You take your ugly ass and go work from home. Get out of this cubicle.
So it's that thin line between flirting and harassment. And what what's that thin line? Attraction.
Because yes.
If the person's attracted to you, then yes, it's flirting. Mm-hmm. But if they're not, you're harassing them.
Even
you gotta
men.
Know the role that you're in.
Even men will do that. If they're not attracted to you, like whatsoever, because men's scale of attractive is different. It's like, I'd marry you, I'd sleep with you, you stay the hell away from me. It's kind of those three levels.
You skipped a step. I noticed you conveniently skipped a step, right? And no, that's the college and fresh out of college step, which is, you know, it's a moped. Fun to ride, but don't want to be seen in public with.
That falls into I'll sleep with you category. So
you did all encompassing.
Yeah, that's all encompassing. That's all encompassing. But because you gotta admit, there's sometimes for guys, think of our college days. Even when we were drunk, there were still some girls we weren't gonna touch.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just saying that there's like I'd marry you, I'd sleep with you, date you, or you better stay the hell away from me. And so if you're that coworker that you better stay the hell away from me, even a man is going to go to HR and be like, can I talk to you about something? I'm really having some concerns about Jennifer. She's been just being a little too nice. She kind of touched my shoulders. I really didn't appreciate it. I don't want to make a big deal, but I want to just get it on y'all's radar. Because now if Jennifer was hot, wouldn't bother him at all.
Jennifer's right there like, look. What? You scared? You scared? Are you scared? You can't handle all of this.
Yeah, you can't handle all of this. You ain't man enough for me. It's like, yeah. So I think it varies. But I think if a single lady had a guy hit her up in her DMs that she looked at his profile and was attracted, she's not going to mind and would probably respond in kind. Right. But if she's not attracted whatsoever, block.
Like you said last week, the smart ones are going to do some research. Like, let me check his page out first and see. Yep or nope.
Yeah, exactly.
And for you, if you go checking his and a whole row of selfies, you're like, okay, yeah, nope,
block.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude,
and I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, we have. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 52, 1 year of doing this. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
I didn't know if you'd make it the full year, right? But so much has happened, and it's I will say this. Your glow up in the last year is amazing. And I say that for the simple fact that even when we started this, it wasn't that you were in a bad spot. You were in a great space, but you had so much happen within that year that even where you are now is far beyond where you were when we started this. It's been an amazing, and when I say started this, not just from our 52 episodes, but our, we did about a month and a half of practice shows before we even started the podcast. So I want to say, man, honestly, I'm proud to have had a front row seat watching you go through this part. I mean, we did a lot in college, you know, especially when we were roommates, when we've been friends ever since. And all the things that we've done, all the good things, all the bad things, all the things that we'll never talk about on this podcast, all the stories that will never get told. But I will say, the story of you in this last year has been amazing to watch, man.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. It's crazy how this whole concept, you know, if you go back to episode one, started with Amy Cooper, who was called the police on the, you know, Christopher Cooper, who's a bird watcher, right?
Yeah.
And you and I having this debate, and you're like, we should do a podcast. And at that time, I was working for another company, you know, just started to work from home and do all that stuff. And so we started talking about it, and then, you know, July, I got laid off. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, they gave me a good package. Then remember when we started talking about doing this podcast, I had this opportunity potentially for a senior HR role with Panera Bread. Mm-hmm. And that would have been in Detroit. And I'm like, this was just meant to be.
You know, that we'd be able to do the podcast in the same space.
Exactly. We were going to do it in the same studio. And so you and I were talking, and I'm just sitting there enjoying being laid off and waiting to get the offer. Right.
Wait, I thought I was going to. Before you go any further than that, I want to point this out because nobody's ever going to see the episode that we did when you came on and said, all right, so I just got let go. And the smile you had on your face. And to understand, I'm like, this is really scary. And I had to tell them, this is scary because you are way too happy to have just gotten laid off from a good paying job. It's not like you were making minimum wage, right? And you were just way too happy. And you were just, but the part about it was, it's not that you were happy. You were just at ease because you kept telling me, I'm probably going to get fired because they're paying me way too much money and I'm doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy the job. I mean, I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed the company. I enjoyed the people I work with. Mm-hmm. But out of all the people that got laid off that round, I was the happiest. And I remember when I got, I was on a one-on-one with one of my recruiting managers. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, you know, we're talking about what we need to do in that market and da-da-da. And then I get this email that says, if you receive this email, da-da-da-da. And I was just like, hey, so I got to go. And I logged off.
In the middle of a call?
Yeah, in the middle of a call with the recruiting manager. I'm like, well, I'm about to get, you know, laid off here in an hour. I have a meeting with HR. So we don't need to keep talking. I'm done. And right. So I got off of that call. I went and took an edible, poured myself a vodka tonic, and waited to talk to HR.
Thursday, I'm at work meeting. I'm at the dining room table and working. All of a sudden, I get this email that's like, hey, you're getting laid off.
Wait, just that simple?
Yeah, that's simple. So got laid off on Thursday, which was, it was kind of awesome because in the moment, I like what I had planned today was to write my team's reviews for the quarter. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, it's 12 o'clock. Sweet. Poured myself a cocktail, turned the laptop off. So hence the job posting t-shirt. So that's what I have going on. It's kind of decompressing from that. And then you start the whole looking for a job process. The only cool thing is that I knew it was going to come at some point.
Yeah. You're smiling a little too hard for somebody who just got laid off. And a couple of things, you said it was awesome. You had a shirt ready and you're still laughing. I'm not getting this part.
I'm fortunate that I'm not like some of these other people who have been negatively impacted by COVID and losing their jobs. I don't have any children to worry about.
Right.
I don't have a family to worry about. So if I had to eat ramen for a week, could I do it? Sure. So I feel good about that. But the other thing is, I think in times like this, whenever you lose your job, it's easy to go through the stages of grief. But I like to focus on staying positive. Because that positive energy is what's going to help you be able to find something. When you're communicating, looking for jobs, you can tell who sounds desperate by how they're communicating and how they're reaching out. So just got to be positive about it. I mean, something... This is a pandemic. This isn't like I sucked and so lost a job. It's a pandemic. There's so many people in the world going through it, so you're not alone. So I figured, you know, better thing to do is just have a positive attitude and every day just kind of grind and just see what you can do. I think that's the best thing to do.
So I was great about it, but I was just relieved because, you know, I just wasn't enjoying that job anymore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you feel stuck in something. And with the pandemic, you didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so then I had this whole Panera Bread thing going. I'm thinking this is going to be an opportunity. Yeah. And then that fell through. And then luckily, and this is why relationships you have with people are so important to maintain. A friend of mine's wife was a VP for the company I'm at now. And she's like, hey, I have this role. I want to see if you'd be interested in it. And so we started talking about it. Well, it was a great opportunity for me. It was permanently work from home. And it was 20% more than what I was making at the job I got laid off from. So I was like, okay, I'm interested. And so I joined this company in September and started to learn a new role. We started doing the podcast. And then in September, I put a contract on a house and then bought a house, closed in January, moved to Austin, Texas in February, right before the snowpocalypse, literally the weekend before the snowpocalypse when Ted was Ted Cruz was planning his trip. The weekend before, remember I was calling you, I had no power, I had
no
water.
We did a podcast with you on the phone.
Yeah, I had no power, no water. I had like 4 canned goods. I was surviving on like a can of black beans and I would hook it up with some rosemary. thinking I'm fancy. And then started with a team of four, and then now it's grown to where I have a team of close to 100 that I'm leading across all the U.S., you know, thriving at what I do professionally. But then this podcast has been the thing that's been fun for me, because not that work's not fun, but work is just busy. But I look forward to this because it's like I can relax. This is not an HR call. I can just be the real Terrell. But I'll say, to your credit, it's when we first talked about this, I had no idea we'd make it a year. I just thought this was going to be a thing. Yeah. I remember I was scared about it, because my big concern is, what if I say something that goes viral and it's a problem?
His first thing was like, I don't want to go viral. I don't want to go viral.
Don't.
Everybody wants to go viral. He's like, no. Because for you, viral meant bad. Viral could be something good.
Could be, but I just thought, if I had to get another job, someone's going to Google me and be like, oh, that's the guy that said X, you know, so.
That's that jackass.
Yeah, but what I appreciate about the podcast is I've known what you've done for a living for a long time, but I didn't see it. I didn't really get it. And the level of detail that you put into doing just this, you don't half-ass anything. And I remember you're like, I think we should do some practice shows. And I was just like, let's just jump into it, because I'm one of those, you know, ready, fire, aim kind of people.
Right.
And you were just like, no, we do the practice shows. And we kept tweaking it. Then you were like, let's send it out to some people. And we got feedback from your friends, some people you know that do podcasts, some of my friends, people I know that would be critical. And then we got to the point where
thank you to Reggie Mantle for his input, because I'm not sure if he still listens or not. But while you say that he and I will never see eye to eye, I honestly appreciated his feedback, his honest feedback, even though some of it was wrong, and yes, we would definitely have some interesting conversations. But I always appreciate his feedback, because he was one of the people that was from the very beginning that kind of asked some of the questions that we did need answered. And it's like, hey, who is this? What are you doing with this? And why this? And oh, by the way, this sounds this way. And we go, you know what? I like that he gave all that feedback. So thank you again to Reggie Mantle. And you can just play him this clip so he doesn't have to watch the whole episode if you know.
Yeah, no, but you know, I don't watch a lot of podcasts. I remember you talked about it, and you follow a whole lot of them, and I don't. Mm-hmm. But as we started doing this, I started trying to check other people's podcasts, maybe some that, you know, aren't ones that exploded. Maybe they're just starting out. But when I look at the production quality and the amount of effort and time that you put into making these things look good and sound good, I don't think we would be at the 230 subscribers on YouTube that we have. We wouldn't have the engagement. You got me doing reality shows, and I freaking hate reality shows. But
you started this, by the way. You started the reality show shit.
But I think we're good at talking about it. So, I mean, so a lot of things that we've done, I think credit to you and your vision. I think you saw this because you have been wanting to do a podcast. You're just trying to find the right person. And when we had that conversation about Amy Cooper, you're like, we should do this. So you saw the vision in this, and I kind of went along for the ride, but I've enjoyed every bit of it, and really happy that I have this 1 year with you. We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
So many stories that we could say, and who would have thought, you know, over 20 years ago, this is what we'd be doing together. But but it's been great, man. I appreciate it.
Think about it. We were the last of the Mohicans for the longest time, man. Out of the entire UTSA crew, we were the last of the Mohicans. You know, and I like always tell people whenever I tell anybody about Terrell, it's always like, we can talk every day, we can talk every week, we can talk once a month, we can talk once a year. We cannot talk for 2 years. But the minute we get on the phone, we pick up exactly where we left off. And it never skips a beat. Never does. And that's one of those things. And also, the other thing I always told him, if you think I'm an asshole, wait till you meet Terrell.
What? Come on. I'm super nice. I'm super nice.
Yeah, you're so nice that you were telling people the exact same thing about me.
you are. You're more of an asshole than I am. So there's that.
Oh, is this the asshole Olympics?
You take gold.
Well, you'll take the dirty bronze.
No. I'll pull a Shikari Richardson. I can't compete. I can't compete today.
Well, speaking of Shikari, you know, it's now, because again, it's Monday and we recorded this on Thursday. She's already raced. Okay. She's actually, we talked about this last week, and I think the week before, about she should be in the Diamond League running, because the Prefontaine Classic was part of the Diamond League. Why wasn't she running these other ones? Obviously, she was trading, because now she's running the 200 in Brussels. However, Elaine Thompson Hurrah and Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, neither of them are running. And Elaine Thompson pulled up because she's like, look, I'm tired. Which, the way they're running this Diamond League, I'm surprised these women are still going. You notice they were progressively getting slower because mm-hmm. it's every week running at this level. It's way too much. So I get why they're not. So now it's going to be the showdown is Sharika Jackson, who, by the way, very interesting about her. She used to run the 400. And the fact that she is dominating with those other women, which means they're all pushing each other. And even though she's the third in every last one of those, that when Elaine and Shelly-Ann are there, the difference is this is a 400-meter runner that can run the 100 faster than everybody but two people, right? Mm-hmm. And she also runs the 200. So amazing athlete when you really think. I think she's going to be the future of Jamaican women's sprints because the fact that she can do that from a 400, amazing.
Well, I'm glad that she's running, mm-hmm. and I think she's going to get smoked again.
Yes.
But she needs that. She needs to get humbled and realize I need to get in the gym. I need to get with some different trainers, look at my nutrition regimen, all the different things that she's doing to get better. But mm-hmm. all the trash talking she's been doing, she's just made herself look bad. And so people just want to see her. I don't care if she wins. I just mm-hmm. want to see her keep competing.
Yes.
You know, but just watch your mouth until you start to win. So the way she lost in that, she was ninth in that 100 meter. And mm-hmm. so I'm betting at least most of those eight, well, minus two, mm-hmm. are also going to be in this 200.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, I don't see her winning it, but I'm glad to see her out there putting her feet where her mouth is and just running.
I don't see her coming in last in this one. I will say this, though. It's when, because I've got to be careful how I say this. I'm not careful because I'm afraid I'm going to put my foot in my mouth, but just because I want to make sure I get the point across. Because Usain Bolt even said he likes Sha'Carri Richardson. He supports her, and he likes that she brings some spirit to track and field. Gabby Thomas said the same thing. Like, you know, she brings a lot of eyes to the sport. However, there's a way to bring eyes to the sport. Usain Bolt brought eyes to the sport. Yes, he was braggadocious, but in a way that still showed humility.
Plus, he was winning.
Yeah, well, then there's that too. Flojo, same thing. Flojo was pretty flashy as well because, you know, her uniform was never the same as everybody else's. It was slightly different, the long fingernails, the long flowing hair, and just whooped everybody. But when she got to the field, it wasn't about being braggadocious every single time. No, I'm going to let my skill do the talking and not just yapping for no reason, so.
But I mean, I don't mind the trash talking when you're winning.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just think how many times did you play like pickup basketball and you hit the winning shot or you dunk on somebody. You talk trash. You know, but
obviously you've never seen me play pickup basketball. I've never hit the winning shot and I've never dunked on anybody.
Well,
I will talk trash.
I was giving you credit. You know, but it's like, look at a game of dominoes, right?
There you go.
Yeah, that's look at a game of dominoes. You don't lose a dominoes and talk trash.
Actually, I do. So I'm the, and this is why I still like Sha'Carri. It's just in the way that she does it. But I'm the person, especially on the basketball court, I talk trash because I know you're probably better than me, right? But if I can talk you out of your game, then so be it. But it's different. It's that kind of game. And yes, I do talk trash. Win or lose, I'm going to talk trash. Madden, see me on Madden. I'll talk trash when I win. I'll talk trash when I lose. I'll give you your props, but I'm still going to talk trash and tell you I'll whoop your ass next time. It's really that simple.
That's why you get the Gold Asshole Award. That's why you win gold. See, y'all heard it. Y'all heard that.
Damn it, I got set up.
Yeah.
You know who also got set up was Tyron Woodley in this Jake Paul fight. Did you watch it?
No, I saw the highlights, and then I saw the end where, Tyron's talking all that trash, and then Jake Paul tells him, "If you get a tattoo that says I love Jake Paul, we'll have a rematch." And they shook hands on it. I'm like, y'all stupid.
Very.
This is just, it's just a money grab. That's why, I mean, to me, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for boxing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's bringing in money. So, I mean, you know, keep the money train going. But, and then I think, didn't he retire?
And then unretired.
Oh.
He unretired almost immediately. Because, he wasn't going to retire. But here's the thing about it. And here's why. With the Paul brothers, right? And Logan Paul fighting Floyd Mayweather. Floyd could have taken him out if he wanted to. He just didn't. He's like, let me put on this show and do what we do. But the problem is that now you have Logan Paul standing there in this match in the booth next to Brian Custer and has the nerve to say, I retired Floyd Mayweather. Shut your ass up. And that's why everybody was wanting Floyd to knock him. Just knock him out. We know he's not at your skill level. Knock him out because you can. You've got the power to do it regardless.
I wish somebody would. I mean, let them have a real fight. This exhibition stuff, so everybody can just make a money grab, it's really making boxing look stupid.
Well, the Jake Paul one was actually a real fight. It wasn't an exhibition that Logan Paul was. But the problem is that Jake Paul is very strategic in who he fights. I mean, when he fought Ben Askew, that guy hadn't won in forever. And same thing with Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley had lost his last four fights. Now, granted, those were in MMA, and he's a better striker. But he's also he's 40. And you remember, we seem to forget that 40 used to be over the hill. I know Jay-Z fucked it all up when he said 40 is a new 30 and 30 is a new 20 and all that other bullshit. So now 60-year-old men think they're really only 30. You know, stop that. Because you are as old as you think you are. And actually as old as your bones tell you are. So you know how old you really are. And that's why Jake Paul knew he could at least outlast him in there. He got rocked, but he didn't go down. Tyron Woodley was not going to win that fight. There was no way.
Still, but I mean, fight somebody that's a true, matches your skill set and age level, and then have a fight. And then if you win that one, then talk some trash. But you're fighting people who have retired. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody wants to see it because we're just getting annoyed. But I really think for the sport of boxing, it's just killing it. That's why I don't like watching boxing anymore.
Now, I won't say that's not why I don't like watching boxing. I will say that I stayed up for this fight just because there was some other good fights on the card as well. But Jake Paul, if you're going to do these fights and you're going to do it with real referees and real judges and real announcers, put the fight on a Friday or Saturday like a real fight, because the Sunday shit, some of us get up early. I get up at 3:30 in the morning to go to work. I can't do that shit. I didn't even see them walk to the ring. That's how I fell asleep right before they started walking to the ring. Okay. So stop that. And put it on a Saturday. At least I can stay up late. It's not a school night.
Speaking of putting up fights, my state, the state of Texas.
The country of Texas.
So we have 666 new Texas laws that go into effect September 1st.
Wait, 666?
The devil is in Texas. And we have 666.
We've known that for a while, but continue.
New Texas laws that go into effect September 1st. Now, I won't read all of them, but there are three that I take
three issue for with. Three sixes.
Yeah, three I take issue with, and I'll do it in a different order because I want to save the one that really pisses me off for last. So, one, House Bill 1927 allows Texans age 21 and older to carry handguns without training or a license as long as they are not legally prevented from doing so.
Jesus.
So, Wild Wild West.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew. I said this when I saw that this was a law that was up for consideration. I was like, really? It's bad enough as an open carry state. And let's be honest, it's open carry depending on who you are. And point of fact of this is, you've got a good friend who, you know, he's a good friend of yours. But when you are traveling from one city to another with legally owned firearms, you were real... He's like, hey, just put him in the car, it'll be fine. But you were nervous. You know why he wasn't? Because he don't look like us.
Well, and I didn't have a permit or anything. I just had guns, right? But this is just crazy. So now people are gonna be, you just never know what's going to happen. So part of me is thankful that the pandemic has created this, you know, we all have to social distance and all that, because imagine if there was no pandemic and everybody's in the streets packing heat. You know, it's just, you never know. So I it's sad, but look, it's in my state, I can't do anything about it.
If the airlines haven't showed us how people are stressed out and willing to just act the fucking ass, for Texas to do the most flexest thing and do this? And here's the worst thing about it. There are 665 other laws that were passed, and I know of at least two more that were probably worse than this one because you did this one first.
Yes, there are. There are two more that's worse than this one. So the next one, social studies curriculum changes. HB 3979 limits teachers from discussing current events and systemic racism in class. The bill also prevents students from receiving class credit for participating in civil engagement and bans teaching of the 1619 Project. So that's how you get rid of the concept of slavery and all the different things that happen. Just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
That's what
it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Hey,
didn't happen.
You know, after all, I mean, sometimes the slave owners would take his slaves out, his workers out on picnics.
Yeah. Yeah. It just blows my mind. And you look at the state of Texas and how many people didn't know about Juneteenth because they don't teach it here, but they're currently saying, hey, we don't want to talk about the shit that happened. And again, there's nothing wrong with talking about it. You know, Germany, they still talk about, you know, Nazi Germany and what it was like. They educate people on it. So if you just educate people on it, let them choose from there. But to purposely choose to not talk about it, that just blows my mind that that's the state that I'm living in. But this last one is the one that really bothers me, and it bothers a whole lot of people, and I'm very supportive of this. This is the abortion restrictions. So SB8 prohibits abortions as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy, which not many people realize they're pregnant within 6 weeks. Right. In lieu of government enforcement, private individuals can sue abortion providers or people who assist abortion after an ultrasound can detect what lawmakers defined as a fetal heartbeat. Embryos at this developmental stage don't possess a heart. Medical and legal experts say the sound Republican lawmakers are referring to is the motion of electrical pulses stimulating muscle cells in a tube that will eventually become a part of the heart. Abortion providers are suing to block the law, but it's just crazy that, you know, you have this with the pandemic. Don't wear the, you know, I'm not wearing a mask. My body, you can't tell me what to do. But yet, really, if you have a penis, then you can tell people what to do. Especially women. And it's
well,
it's
if you're, no. If you are white and have a penis, or if you have a white penis.
No, I think that's the problem with a lot of these laws. And because to me, I look at this as this. I am not pro-abortion. I'm pro-choice. Yeah. I want people to have the choice to do what's within their uterus. And people are like, well, but what about the life in the uterus? I'm like, but it's not your uterus, so it's not your business. Let them deal with that. But I'm all about pro-choice, right? Now, it's so unfortunate that in 2021, we're still regulating women's bodies in a way that it is not right, it is not fair. We know it's wrong. And what pisses me off even more is that there are women lawmakers who voted for this. And that there are some women who believe this is the right way to go based on their religious values. And so it's so unfortunate. You look at all the things they say about the women in Afghanistan and what are we helping them when you're restricting women here in the U.S. for your own religious beliefs. And in Afghanistan, they're trying to control women because of their religious beliefs. But you want to go send troops over there to go free them. But yet here, women got to do it. Just pisses me off. And I think every woman should be outraged. I'm sorry for all the women in the great state of Texas. You deserve better.
I will say the hypocrisy knows no end in the sense of, you know, you've seen people, and I'm not going to get on this religious tip for very long, so we're just going to step over the soapbox, right? But people will talk about how violent a religion Islam is, as if the Crusades never happened, as if the Christian soldiers never came to where we are right now. They didn't come to the West Indies, they didn't come to the Americas and say, convert or die. So I'm just going to leave that there and leave that hypocrisy sitting right there, right? The other part I'm going to say about this is, like, we go everywhere else to fight for freedom for everyone. And they have a right to choose their own leaders. But here in America, if you're not voting for the person I'm voting for, you don't deserve to vote.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you don't think exactly the way I think, then you don't deserve your rights. And those rights, like the same thing, again, for women's rights. Remember there was a point when they took away contraception from insurance. And like, yep. Wait a minute. So you don't want women to have abortions, but you don't want them to. And they're like, well, they shouldn't be out here slutting around. Mr. Man, who's talking all that shit, you know, I know your wife is at home, but you've got like three mistresses. So what are you talking about? You know, it's the hypocrisy is so great. It's amazing.
The hypocrisy is right here in front of our face. So I'm pro-life. So you can't have an abortion. Everybody deserves to live. Everybody deserves a chance. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also, everybody can carry a gun without a permit, without any training, as long as you're 21 years of age or older. Mm-hmm. You're not pro-life.
Well,
you're pro your religion. You're not pro-life. Mm-hmm. You know, so because if you were pro-life, you would try to restrict everybody from being able to have a gun and walk the streets with it. But they want that fetus born. It just blows my mind. But the fact that even though there are a lot of men who feel this way, mm-hmm. I can't help but try to comprehend the helplessness that women feel, that they have no say in this. There's no law that determines what you and I do.
Yeah,
I could have a bunch of babies. I can get a bunch of people pregnant all at once. Mm-hmm. Women get pregnant once in 9 months, right? Mm-hmm. But I can go and make all the babies, but no one is stopping that.
Yeah.
No one is stopping men who have 8, 9, 10 children by 6 or 7 different women that are all on welfare. No, there's no law against that.
No, as a matter of fact, there's something to help you do that. It's called the little blue pill.
Yeah.
In case you need it.
So you can keep going. Yeah. Yeah. So you keep, so I mean, it's just, I my heart just goes out to women because I can hear just their helpless cries that there's nothing that can be done about this. And it's just shitty. I don't agree with it. And I'm in support of being able to be more of an advocate and help women any way I can. If there's organizations I can donate to that help women that need some of this assistance that Planned Parenthood was doing, I definitely plan to do that.
I will say, you know, somebody who is doing something is TikTok, or at least TikTokers. I'm looking at this headline, says TikTokers flood Texas abortion whistleblower site with Shrek memes, fake reports, and porn. but these are the same people who, when Donald Trump was doing a rally and was like, all right, you know what, we'll go get the tickets, and they got a ton of tickets, and because of course the tickets were free, and then of course they didn't show up. So you know, when you get these kids going And the young TikTokers going, and you ignite them. Be careful, because you're gonna be for a rude awakening. And hopefully they vote some of these folks out. I know you're on a mission down there in Texas, and I'm sure Ted Cruz has said something else stupid, because he always does.
No, hadn't really said anything. I was too focused on these new laws. But as I mentioned, I moved into my house the weekend of Snowpocalypse, and I dealt with having no power, no water, couldn't shower. Well, Ted Cruz left, you know, the country and went to Cancun. So we need to pay attention to this stuff. Look at if we're not paying attention to this, Texans, look at me in the camera. If we're not paying attention to this stuff, this is how these type of laws get passed, because we're not paying attention. And we got to watch the people that we're putting in office. And we know Ted Cruz doesn't have our best interest in heart, because he left us when we were all down. His state left us. So vote him out. I believe that we can do it. A change can come. We just have to make sure that we're reminding each other about what this turd did.
The hypocrisy of you in this one is that Ted Cruz may not have cared about you, but he did care about his family and took them to Mexico, where there was electricity, there was warmth.
And Wi-Fi. And Wi-Fi, which no one would have an issue with him if he'd have said, shit, it was cold. I took my family to Cancun, but I'm still working. I'm in a Zoom meeting right now with Governor Greg Abbott. Yeah. Great. You know, he could have easily done that, but just to come out and lie the way he did, that just shows that he doesn't care. He's more about covering his own ass than he is about anything else. And so, vote him out.
Well, as these 666 new Texas laws have shown, the devil has moved. to Texas.
Red 666.
Everybody's been going to Texas and moving to Texas. You know, Joe Rogan went, so everybody followed suit. And apparently, so did Lucy Fur. And Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. And they're going to vote him back in. And when he becomes the Republican nominee for president, we'll have nobody to blame but Texas. Because you can stop this. Yes. You can prevent forest fires.
Yes. Yes.
Pew, pew, pew. You know, a lot of stuff came in for this bullshit this week. So big ups to everybody who's been sending in their, you know, these stories for this bullshit. And you've got one for us here that was pretty disturbing to watch on TV.
Yeah. So you have a reporter for MSNBC. I believe his name is Shaquille. That's what caught my eye because I remember hearing him. He was reporting on the storm. So I followed a lot of footage about Ida because I have a lot of family in New Orleans that would be impacted. So I was just trying to keep a close eye. And he was in Mississippi reporting on the storm. And some guy just comes and, you know, all but assaults him. And I couldn't hear what he was saying. He was like, tell the story straight, whatever. And so they had to cut to, you know, cut back to the people back at the station. Come to find out, this idiot, there's a warrant for him now for this, for harassing a guy because he's from Ohio and he was in Mississippi. Now, he's on probation and not allowed to leave the state of Ohio. So he thought it was a good idea to get in front of a news camera and try to talk some shit. And so now because they figured out who he is, which, of course, you know, that happens, he's in trouble, which is just dumb. Like, I don't understand the so, and I don't know if this is, I know you tend to be more race than I am, but I look at this.
Really?
Black people that I know that have warrants tend to keep a low profile. they know they're on papers. They know they got some shit. They tend to keep a low profile. Why is it that, like, white people with warrants don't give two fucks?
Why has it got to be about race, Terrell?
I'm just saying. I'm just noticing. It's not often that you see. Now, you might see a black person commit a crime who also had a warrant and was on probation. Mm-hmm. But you don't see them running up in front of an MSNBC camera crew talking shit. So you know you're not supposed to be in the state. And you're not supposed to be out of Ohio. You're in Mississippi, and you're going on camera. And it's not like it was some reporter with a damn camera phone. It said MSNBC on the van and the camera. Why was he jumping in front of that? So I just think that's interesting.
Well, he's an idiot. I mean, you know, he's facing two counts of simple assault, one count of disturbing the peace, and one count of violation of emergency curfew. That's just down there in Gulfport, right? But he's also wanted in Cuyahoga County. That's Cleveland. For violating that probation. So the fact that they say Cleveland man, about Ohio man in Mississippi, I'm like, okay, what's he doing down there? I mean, I understand his family, so probably he was down there for family. But the fact that he walked up and was, I hope you're not giving fake news. This is what happens when you follow the jackass in orange, okay? When you follow the orange jackass, this is what happens to you. And that's why there's a warrant out for your arrest. And guys, people, think, okay? And leave other people alone to do their job. Nobody's bothering you when you're back there on fries telling you, hey, let them fries get a little more melanin in them. You know, they're a little light, you know, leave them in the oil a little bit longer.
Well, hey, here's the message. If you're on probation, don't do shit. Just wait till your probation's over and then go back to doing whatever you like to do. But if you're on probation, you gotta
leave people alone.
Leave people alone. So the reporters are reporting. I don't like the people that jump up and, you know, try to jump on the camera when the reporters are talking, or they get behind them and making all these faces. I'm like, why are you doing that? They're just trying to do their job. You know, let them alone. But it's just stupid. But if you got probation, if you're on probation and you got a warrant and you're supposed to leave the state, those are the last people you should be bothering.
Here's the other thing, too. It's time for news stations to start hiring security and sending them out with your reporters. You send these reporters into the worst situations. And you've seen it even recently where a woman is just verbally, sexually assaulted by somebody walking by, and she's just sitting up trying to get her, and she's got a cameraman who is not going to do anything. The cameraman is just sitting there like, he's just like,
this is good.
What am I going to do?
This is good.
Hire security. Have somebody who will jack these folks up and keep them away, because if you send them in these rough neighborhoods, you send them in these places where and you've got jackasses like whatever this guy's name was, Benjamin Eugene Dagley. Let's make him a little famous. You know, when you got those kind of jackasses out there, you should have security with your reporters. If you send them out there, have security.
Jake Paul, this is a great opportunity for you.
Oh, Logan. This is good. Logan can do
Logan
it.
Or Jake. Y'all can stand there. You're on TV. You get more YouTube subscribers. You can whoop some ass of just some people. I mean, this is, think about it. Think about the views that you could be getting from this. I'm just throwing it out there. Throwing it out there.
So one that I got here was, which, funny, because it's also another place that I was before, Henrico County, right there by Richmond, Virginia. There was a prank that was played, and if I wasn't a big fan of the Simpsons, but I definitely got a good kick out of this one. And this happened about a week and a half ago for us, right? There were people signed up to speak at this Henrico County School Board meeting, and so when one woman got done, the chairman decides to read the names and call the next people up.
Phil McCracken. Phil McCracken, Salk, Suk, Mahidic, Ophelia McHawk, Ophelia McHawk, Eileen Dover, Eileen Dover, Don Kiddick, Don Kiddick, Wayne Kerr, Wayne Kerr.
He was so articulate and patient and just very pronouncing every name correctly. Phil McCracken.
Hey,
Phil
my favorite
McCracken.
Was, my favorite was Don Kiddick.
Yeah, Don Kiddick.
Don Kiddick.
And he read every name. He never caught on that this was happening. That was hilarious. Yeah, it was hilarious. Suk Mahidic.
Even though he did put an extra I in it, he was like, Suk Mahidic.
Yeah.
Suk Mahidic. Don Kiddick.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was rolling. I couldn't believe that. And then the other one that I got, and I actually liked this story. This is the one about the 88-year-old professor resigns mid-class when student refused to wear a mask. So he had this professor at the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, he told people that when class starts, I want everybody to wear a mask. He has some underlying health conditions. He's 88, for God's sake. And so one student comes in, and an unnamed female student walked into the 25-person classroom without a mask. The student was given a disposable mask but refused to put it on properly, stating that she couldn't breathe and had a real hard time breathing. So the professor was just like, no mask, no class. I've said this. And so he was just like, screw this. I quit. And walked out.
Kudos to you, sir. Kudos to you. You do not give these entitled, privileged little brats shit. Okay?
Yeah.
No. I mean... The fact is, here's the thing about it, and it doesn't matter if you're like, well, I don't believe in the vaccine, and I don't, if you're in all that, and you like, you know, well, the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting this. Exactly why you should wear a mask. The man is 88 years old. He is on his last straw. Okay, even though he might be going for another 20 years. Let's be honest. But people that are affected the most are still the older generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking because it's for him. He's here to teach you, pass on his knowledge. And I'm with him. Look, if I'm in a place that I don't feel safe or that doesn't respect me or doesn't need my services, and when I say need my services, that includes my money, any place. If I'm there and you show me that, guess what? I'm no longer there. And this student, this guy has the money, I'm sure. He was teaching still for the love of it. And you know what? This is not the first... person that's done this.
Mm-hmm.
This was just the straw that broke the camel's back, and he was like, "You know what? Fuck these kids. I'm out."
I don't blame him. You know, the guy, you know, 88 years old, has type 2 diabetes, hypertension.
Oh, you know, he's got underlying conditions already.
Yeah. He's just trying to play it safe, but you know, and I don't know the setting, because here's my other thought, and this is for the female student. remember at UTSA you had those large auditoriums?
Yes.
You know, and so if the professor's down here and she sits way up at the top, you know, does she have to wear a mask in that case? No.
Probably not.
Now, even I don't know what the...
You are down, and so all those particles are going to come down.
Okay, but you are more than in those UTSA buildings. You are way beyond 6 feet apart. I mean, you could be...
It was very easy to sneak back out of the class when you're like, yeah, I want to hit it.
Yeah, you're like 20 yards. You know, you're like 20 yards away. And so... Yeah. I don't know if the classroom was like that to maybe to the students' defense, but it's so interesting just to see how this pandemic, just everything that's happened in the last year has just changed. Mm-hmm. Showing people's true colors, right? Yeah. I think we used to be a country that cared about people. And I think all this is showing is we don't really give a fuck about people unless they believe what we believe or mm-hmm. we're aligned on something in our circle. But mm-hmm. it's just so sad to see where we are as a society. Yeah, it just blows my mind, right? I mean, who knew? But the world is, it's just a different place, man. I can't wait to get to 5 years from now and see what we're like. Hopefully we're better, but we've been saying that for decades. So, doubt it.
Speaking of people not giving a fuck about people, I saw this one somewhere, and it's just the weirdest story because, but then again, when I tell you where it happened, you go, oh, okay. But as the plane lands, this woman just pulls out a cigarette, sparks it up. We haven't been able to smoke in a plane. When you walk in a plane, you're like, I can't believe they let people smoke in a plane before. And actually had a non-smoking section. Like that shit was really going to do anything. There was an actual non-smoking section on a plane. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah. I can't wrap my mind around what that's like.
Neither can I. It's just like, you know, thank God we don't do that crap anymore. Even now, I can't think of going to a club that allows smoking. You know, the smoke. I remember when the smoke-free club started and people were like, oh, my God, and how am I ever going to do it? And then after you do that long enough, you go, how the hell did we ever do that before?
Yeah, right? I can still smell my cologne, and I've been here for 4 hours.
Exactly. I don't have to come home and throw my clothes right in the washer. But... this woman did this. The flight attendants couldn't do anything. She did end up putting it out. But what happened was they did call the cops. The cops came, but they didn't arrest her, right? I'll just say I'm not surprised about it because it did happen on Spirit Airlines.
I have only flown Spirit once. And I liked
please,
it.
Please tell us about your experience.
Years ago, I liked it when it first started. It was a much cheaper flight because mm-hmm. the flight that I had on Southwest for whatever reason got canceled. I was able to mm-hmm. find one on Spirit that I could board right now.
Did they actually have a seat for you? Or did you have to stand up and hold on to the
row? No. And I think at that time, you got a free drink.
What?
Yeah, at that time, you got a free drink. So it was a while. But I don't understand why she didn't get arrested. But here's the thought. So let's say it's an emergency landing and they land in the water, but it doesn't mm-hmm. sink. So they're able to survive. So as soon as it lands, you're like, shit, I thought I was going to die. Light up. I don't think you fault that person. I don't think you call security. Hey, we all but die. We all but die. You know, but if it's just like, was it a scary landing? Did the engine blow out? Did they just barely, was it like one of those Sully landings in the Hudson? You can smoke on those planes, in my opinion. I think it's okay if you light up. I might be like, hey, can you mind if I get a little drag of that? Ooh, it's been years, but oh, God, I needed it. You know, I totally get it.
I was about to say, what you lighting up on that plane?
That's why you take edibles. You don't have to worry about it.
All of a sudden, somebody's going to break out a glass.
Yeah. Yeah. If you see me on a plane and I'm eating a brownie, you know what's up.
Well, look, man, 52 episodes down, you know, I appreciate you for coming on this journey with me. I can't think of anybody better to have done it with. You're right. I had been looking, and you said this in the beginning of the episode, that, you know, I had thought about doing a podcast. I'd thought about it for a couple of years. It was just like, yeah, but with who? And, you know, always looking at the radio people. And then it's like, you and I had that conversation. I went, no, that's exactly what it is. We don't, because you and I have never been always on the exact same page. There's certain things we'll be there. And even things we agree on, we still have different takes on it. And I was like, you know what? we definitely need to do this. And I was glad you decided to take this journey with me. And I look forward to where we go with this, man. I mean, we did this for the fun of it. But at the same time, while doing it for the fun, at least doing it properly, because you don't half-ass shit. I don't half-ass shit. That's what she said. So.
No, man, I'm happy that we made it to 52 episodes, 52 weeks, 1 year anniversary. I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to next year. This has done a whole lot for me personally, and it's helped me in just some personal ways that maybe we've shared in conversation that I don't need to share on the mm-hmm. podcast, but yeah. And that's due to you, and I appreciate this. I'm glad I'm on this journey with you. I wouldn't do this with anybody else, and I'm glad to say that I have a best friend that I've known. You're the only friend I've had and been this close with my whole life, so I don't want to get all emotional and shit and have people comment. Man,
don't fucking cry on me now.
No. I'm not. I'm not going to pull a Johnny from Married at First Sight. We're good.
I'll get a bidet for you real quick.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget, we got the Monday episodes. The audio drops on Monday. Video drops on YouTube on Tuesday. And, of course, Married at First Sight until this season 13 is over. We'll be dropping those episodes on Wednesdays, audio and video. Thank you for coming along this journey with us. We appreciate everybody who's been there from the very beginning. Shout out to Drew, who's been one of the folks that, from the very beginning, religiously, Don, who was like, if we're late, and we've been late on a couple episodes, and they're like, hey, what, no podcast this week? You know, I love that kind of thing. That people who'd actually hit you and just go, hey, so what's up? Are you going to drop it or what?
Yeah. Well, shout out to my mom, right? Mm-hmm. And here's why I say shout out to my mom, because she listens. She doesn't mm-hmm. comment and doesn't even right. text me and whatever. And I know sometimes I say some stuff, and then when I do my little weekly check-in, hey, mom, how's it going? And yeah, we were doing this on the podcast. She's like, oh, yeah, I heard it.
That's that mom answer right there. Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't tell you this. My mom was so mad at you over one, I forget which topic it was, but she was like, I am so mad at Terrell. And she's going to hear this now. Because she also listens as well, too. You know, it's funny because the fact that, and I know your mom was like, hey, do y'all really have to curse? And my mom, I never cursed in front of my mom for a long time. So it's actually even weird to know that she's listening and that we actually do, even though we try not to be just raunchy for the hell of it and cursing just for the hell of it. So, yeah, shout out to moms for what they do. And thank you to your mom who's like, you know, maybe y'all should make sure you quench your thirst before you start the podcast.
I remember when we first started, I was thirsty as hell every time because you're used to doing this. And then, like, today, I was on conference calls from 8:30 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. today, uh-huh. nonstop. I had one 15-minute window, so I've been trying to hydrate. But that's why I'm glad that we did this on a Thursday evening, because mm-hmm. we can drink during it compared to Sundays at noon. So speaking of what I'm drinking, I'm drinking some Woodford Reserve in mm-hmm. one of my favorite glasses given to me by an old boss that says, straight up badass.
I got this
as a gift. So thank you, Sue. I learned a whole lot from you. What about you? What are you sipping on?
I'm sipping on some Monkey Shoulder. As you can see, I've finished the bottle. The bottle is done.
Good.
So
yeah. Good.
Time to go get another one. I love this Monkey Shoulder. And, of course, I've told a story previously as to why I even came across this. Sitting in Munster at a bar right by the beach. And I'm like, all right. What should I get? And I saw this weird name, Monkey Shoulder. And I remember you telling me, you know, well, Four Roses and Bullet Bourbon. And I'm like, those don't sound like they would taste good. They sound like violent. They sound crazy. And I was like, they just sound ratchet. But they were smooth. And I went, okay, so the more shitty the name, the better the liquor probably. So I saw Monkey Shoulder and said, let me try it.
Yeah, Monkey Cool. Shoulder sounds like some type of disease. Like, hey, you got Monkey Shoulder.
Monkey Shoulder sounds like something that people in the South will tell you when they say, I've got 666 new laws for you.
Yeah, I know. That's why in the South, we drink Four Roses because, you know, we're assholes in Texas. At least the men are. and some women that voted for these stupid laws, especially the abortion one. So, but yeah.
I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes. Be sure to send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about them on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother. Happy 1-year anniversary.